Father Christine, a question for you. When you look at your priesthood, there must be moments that you have been moved by the love of God in a particular way. I'm sure there's many, but is there one moment that you can think of right now that has just done something within your heart, inspired you in a special way that you could share with us?
Absolutely. People ask that, and there are many, but there's always one that comes to the top right away. It was an experience I had fairly early on, actually, in my priestly ministry. I was probably only ordained 3 or 4 years max. And some friends of mine mentioned that they had a colleague who was more or less an atheist, even though he had been raised a Mormon and just sort of pushed it all away. And now was sick. He had brain cancer and they didn't think he had long left to live. And so he was asking questions. And he lived just around the corner from the parish where I was serving at the time. And so they asked if I would have time to just sit down with him and try and help him answer his questions. And so I said, oh, yeah, of course. And we met the first time, and just a really nice guy. I liked him. He was funny. And we got along well. So we had this meeting, and then I didn't know what was going to happen after that. But what happened was it was the beginning of a year and a half of accompanying him and journeying with him towards his death. And he was very sincere and had very honest questions and reasons why he wrestled with God in general, but then why it freaked him out that he was even considering Catholicism. And I think in a way he just saw Catholicism as another kind of Mormonism. And he said, I've left that behind, and I don't know why I'm even talking to a Catholic priest. But I think part of why was because we just became friends. We shared a bond that was beyond, I remember saying to him one time, I don't know when you're going to pass away, but I just want you to know that no matter what happens or whatever you decide to do, I'd still be there for you at the end. And it's been an honor to be with you. And so that was just the beginning of what would become this so beautiful and profound moment in my life and ministry as a priest, because I got a frantic call one day from his son saying, we've just brought Dad by ambulance to the hospital. It doesn't look good. The doctors are saying that this is it, he's at the end, and he's asking for you. Is there any way you could come? And I shouldn't have been able to. Something had just been canceled, and I actually remember thinking, oh, wow, what a treat, when an unexpected opening comes to my calendar. And so I sort of laughed to myself and thought, well, now I know why it was opened up. And I went rushing to the hospital. And I brought in my holy water and my ritual book just out of hope that he would say he wanted to be baptized. And I started praying that he would ask for that. So I got in the room and his family was there with him, and he was distressed. And as soon as he saw me, he just smiled. And I think he said something like, well, see, you said you'd come to be with me at the end. And I said, yes, of course I would. And then he asked if he could just talk to me in private. So his wife and him were no longer married. He had never remarried. And his adult children were there, and his wife was there. So they all stepped out, and it was just me and him. And he started to weep. He said, I really want to be baptized, but I'm afraid I just want it because I want to cover my butt. And I don't know if I actually believe this. And I said to him, well, there's nothing wrong with covering your butt. And he laughed and he said, so you think I can be baptized? I said, let's baptize you right now. And so I called his family back in and I explained what he had just asked for and made sure everyone understood and were comfortable with that. And they said, Dad, whatever you want. And then this is when his wife said, you know, she started to cry and she said, I was raised a Catholic. And I just eventually abandoned the faith. And my mother has always prayed for us to come back. And she would be so happy to know that he was getting baptized. And so she was very emotional. Everyone was emotional. So I called the friends of his who had first put us in touch. And I said, how would you like to be proxy godparents for this baptism we're about to do? I'm going to put you on speakerphone. Someone else here in the room is going to be his witness, his witness that's physically present. But you can be the godparents because you journeyed with him to this point, and they were just so overwhelmed. They were in Saskatoon at the time. And so they said they were in this park, but that they were just going to stop where they were and pray and be present with us over the phone. And so we went through the first little preliminary prayers, and then I baptized him. And as the last drop of water, when I said the Holy Spirit, passed over his head, from on the speakerphone, the sound of bells ringing started. And I remember thinking, like, that's kind of cheesy. I don't know. I thought the guys like on the other side of the phone started ringing bells or something. And it was just weird. And then they said, can you hear that? Can you hear that? And we said, yes. Yeah. Where are you? So we're in this park and we don't know why, but this, I think it's the cenotaph in this park in Saskatoon. They said the bells just started ringing. And it was like 1:15 in the afternoon. Like there was no reason for the bells to ring. And so they went running over to it and they said on the monument, it said, for all who have died in service of the King. And for our friend there who had just been baptized, he broke down and he was just so moved. And we said our goodbyes, and then that was that. I thought, well, I should leave them for time alone with their family because everything was starting to look worse for him. But he looked so happy that he had just been baptized. Well, the next day I get a call that said he had made it through the night, and the doctors were surprised. And so they still didn't think he would live, but they were going to move him to a palliative care facility. So he was moved to that place, and he asked if I could come and see him again. And so I went to spend some more time with him, and I said, how do you feel? I said, you're a Christian now. You're a son of God. And he said, I feel great. Is there anything else you can give me? I said, oh, yes, there's always more. In Catholicism, there's always more. So I said, would you like to receive the sacrament of confirmation? So I explained what that meant, and we had been talking about the faith for a year and a half. It's practically like he had been in RCIA, but just in private instruction for longer than most people ever experience it. And so he knew who God was. He knew what we meant by all of these things. And he said, yes, I want to feel the power of the Holy Spirit. So I said, okay, well then, we'll confirm you. And so I returned the next day with the oil of sacred chrism. And again, this was an emergency circumstances, so we did it a little bit differently, but I conferred the sacrament of confirmation on him. And the sacred chrism, as you know, it just smells so beautiful. And
yeah.
So the room filled with that aroma. And I took a Kleenex to dab the top of his head from where I had anointed him. And then he said, can I keep that? And I said, sure. And so he would smell the tissue and just breathe in. And then he would take the tissue and he said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he just kept making the sign of the cross with this tissue. And then he'd just take a smell of the sacred chrism. And he looked so peaceful. And so I tried to introduce him to our Blessed Mother. And I said, you know, I've talked about the Virgin Mary with you before, but now you're her son too. And so you should think about her and it'll comfort you. And so we prayed a decade of the rosary together. And I said, I'm going to leave you now, but if you're still here tomorrow, I'll come back and I'll bring you something else. He said, okay, sounds good. So then I got a call in the morning that, you know, was I coming? Because he had lived through the night. So what else did I have to bring him? So I went to see him. And now it had been a few days since his baptism. And I thought, you know, maybe he would appreciate just getting everything he could. And so I said, all your sins have been forgiven, but would you like to have the sacrament of reconciliation and the anointing of the sick? And I thought, he needs to receive the Eucharist to complete his initiation. And I wasn't sure where he was at with that, like how he would feel. And so we talked about it, and I brought the Blessed Sacrament. I didn't tell him that, but I had our Lord with me in a pyx. And I talked to him about the sacraments of healing. And so we celebrated those sacraments together. And as we finished, I said, you know, you've had four sacraments in as many days. Like you've got more grace than anyone I know right now. And there's one last thing that we can celebrate together. And remember the Eucharist? Remember what I've talked to you about Mass and what it would mean for you to go to Mass? He remembered. And so I said, I took the pyx out and I said, I've brought Jesus himself in the Blessed Sacrament. Would you like to receive him? And he just closed his eyes and he nodded his head. He couldn't speak much. His breathing was very labored. So we prayed together and I reminded him of what this meant. And I showed him the host and I said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I had him repeat after me, Lord, I'm not worthy. And then he opened his mouth and I placed the host on his tongue. And he closed his eyes and he just leaned back and he stayed in silence. And then a tear rolled down his cheek. And he said, it's him. And I just didn't know what to say. It was the most beautiful moment I had experienced as a priest. And we sat in silence for a few minutes. I said, yes, it's him. And you'll know when he comes for you to bring you home. And so he said goodbye, and then a few hours later, his son called to let me know that he had passed away. And I just, to this day, I'm in awe of that beautiful sign of God's grace and power in our lives and how he fights for us to the end. You know, if we look for him, he will look for us, and he will save us and bring us home.
It's incredible. What a treasure this man was given through your priesthood. Like, what a treasure in the last moments of his life to receive our Lord and to say those words, it's him. How many of us doubt if it's him? Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. What do you think that experience did to you?
I've never not loved being a priest, but it's been 6 or 7 years, I guess, since that happened. And there have been many hard and challenging moments in the priesthood. But that's one I can always go back to and be reminded why we have the priesthood and what tremendous honor it is to be a priest, and to never forget that.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.